Amazing.
Yes. Some types of lung cancer are really a devastating illness, and especially the small cell or what we call old cell cancer. 80% of those cancers occur in smokers. 20% of the cancers occur in people who never smoke, but they may have had exposure to other noxious fumes during their lifetime.
So 200,000 people a year are diagnosed from lung cancer. And everyone, sit down and listen to this. 90% of those people that are diagnosed with lung cancer are going to pass away from this disease. 90%.
Right.
Because until now, it has not been detected early enough. And usually it's detected at an advanced age.
That's
90%.
Correct.
That's a terrible statistic.
That's correct. Now, some types of lung cancer have a slightly higher survival rate, 14, 15%, but that's it. I mean, it's a very difficult disease. Now, if you find cancer early, there's all kinds of treatments available from curing the cancer, because it's removed, to extending people's lives with a variety of treatments, radiation and chemotherapy.
So the reason we want everyone to understand this, and thank you, caller, for starting off the show with that question. So this study said that you should have a screening CAT scan in order to detect cancer at an early stage. So this is one of the reasons I thought it was a wonderful to have Dr. Katzen talk to us and about, number one, what is the test? What is the procedure? And here we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Very interesting show. I need to ask a question.
Yes, sir. What's up?
I quit smoking in 1977. So that's like, what, 35 years ago?
Yes.
And I smoked for probably 20 years. What risk factor do I have?
Well, according to this study...
I'm going to hang up and I'll just listen, okay?
Okay. Dr. Katzen, you want to...
Sure. Well, remember that one of the biggest risk factors you have is your age. Because cancer of the lung is not a young man's disease. We rarely see it in people less than 45 years old. So even though you smoked, your risk should be the same as other people your age. I would expect at 22 years. But at the same time, it depends on what kind of damage was done to your lungs by the years of smoking that you had. For instance, the incidence of lung cancer is higher in people who have chronic bronchitis and COPD, which is emphysema. So we don't know that may increase your risk. Now, the first caller asked, well, what's the danger of having a CT scan? What's the danger of the radiation?
Right.
You want me to answer that question now?
Well, I want Dr. Katzen to answer that, about that. And you can go ahead, but I want to go into the... Go ahead. I want you to tell everybody. Because everybody is really worried about radiation.
Sure. Well, let me just start off by saying, no matter what the dosage is, the negative effects of exposure to radiation are delayed. What I mean by that is 20 or 30 years is when we see most of the secondary signs of people who have had industrial exposure to radiation, except those people who have had a very, very high dose, more than you could ever get in any kind of diagnostic test. The standard chest X-ray that we do, which is really the way we usually start off evaluating the chest, has a very low dose. And the best way to describe that is that you could have a chest X-ray almost every day of your life and not exceed the amount of radiation that we allow our technologists to have who are taking the chest X-rays.
Well, every single day of your life,
that's correct.
You could have a chest X-ray, and it will not equal.
That's right.
The people who work in the healthcare field are allowed to have.
That's correct.
That's amazing.
Because you have about a 40th of a Rontgen for a chest X-ray, and so the radiation worker is allowed 5 rads whole body dose per year. So 5 times 40 is 200, and there's about how many work days there are in a year.
Okay, so what about the CAT scan? Everybody wants to know about how much radiation do you get with a CAT scan?
Well, the radiation from a CAT scan is much higher. It's 2 or 3, between 2 and 4 rads in most devices. Most of the hospitals and offices in this area have relatively modern devices, and so the radiation dose is less. The radiation dose also depends on the thickness of the part. So the chest is really not very thick or a solid organ like the abdomen, where you have a lot of solid organs. The chest is mostly air. And why would we do it a CT scan rather than just look at a chest X-ray? Well, if somebody has a tumor in the middle of the lung, it's very easy to see on a conventional chest X-ray. But right in the center of your chest, you've got a lot of different organs. You have the heart. You have the blood vessels that supply the lungs, both arterial and venous. You have a lot of lymph nodes, and you have the esophagus. And all these organs are just squished together on a single flat film. So whereas when you look at the CT scan, the best way to describe a CT scan to somebody is to imagine an egg in an egg slicer.
Okay.
If you took a picture of the egg, you would have a flat picture of that egg. But if you put the egg in the egg slicer and looked at each of the individual slices, you would see something a little bit different. And that's basically what we do when we do a CT scan.
So
we
in other words,
put you in an egg slicer.
You're slicing the body through imaging to look at the different parts.
Right. And we look at a smaller piece. Of the lung and the center portion of the chest in each frame we have. We probably wind up with somewhere between 40 and 60 frames in the average CT scan.
Of the chest. Right. Okay. So everybody out there, we're going to take a tiny little break, and you need to continue to listen because we're going to talk about what you need to do to save your life. And what exactly, where you can get the CAT scan done, and why it's important, and why a chest X-ray doesn't give us enough information. So we'll take our little break right now.
And you're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. We are a presentation of the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. You are welcome to visit their website and highly encouraged to, actually, at TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A, Prevention Center, all one word, .com, where there's an archive of all the previous radio programs. If you'd like to get caught up on one or more, they're all there for you. And if you'd like to call this program today and join the conversation or ask a question, you're certainly welcome to. And the phone lines are open at 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. And now back to Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Well, thank you, Todd. And thank you. It looks like we have another caller. Hi, caller. What's up?
Hi. Hi, Doc. This is Jim again. I'm sorry to bother you again. The other part of my question was...
Yes?
He ordered a 3D, three-dimensional scan. And the other part of the question is, how do they know if it's cancer or if it's not?
Okay.
Or if it's something that you've had all your life? I just wanted to know if that is the answer for that.
Okay, great. Dr. Katzen, it's good. Thank you, caller.
I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
I'm going to try and answer your question. The 3D portion of the CT scan is a routine thing. I described to you the egg slicer where we slice up the egg.
Yes.
Well, the computer can put the egg back together.
Oh, so that's three dimensions.
And so that we can look at the egg instead of just in each slice, we can slice you the other way from top to bottom. And that's really what a 3D CT, and that's a pretty routine thing for us to do. The computer does it almost on a standard basis when you have the examination done. And what was the other question?
The other question was, what other things might you find? He says it may not, you may not find lung cancer. What other things could you find in the lung that he might have had all his life?
Sure. There's a variety of things we can find, from congenital abnormalities. When we're looking at the center of the chest, one of the things that we see there is the heart, and in the heart, we can see plaque in the coronary arteries, which your physician should know about, because that does help your physician realize what kind of a risk you have for a heart attack and stroke. Because by the time you have calcium in your coronary arteries, you have a significant amount of plaque. Now, we don't know, there are techniques for doing calcium scoring, which is a numbered technique that I don't really do very much. I just generally will report that there is calcification and then what vessels there are. Nodules are seen in the chest that are related to previous infections. Most nodules that are related to previous infections that have healed have a little bit of calcium in there, because that's kind of the way, that's part of the healing process. And if we see a nodule in the chest, which can be anything from the size of a pea to a larger nodule, and there's calcium in it, then we generally will think that that's not a very active nodule at this time, and a benign nodule. We can't look at a nodule generally and tell whether it's benign or malignant. But what we can do, if we are very suspicious of a nodule, we can put a small needle in it, just like we talked about on the thyroid, and actually take some cells out of that nodule and send it off to the laboratory for analysis and be able to tell whether there's a malignancy in that nodule or not. There is also another test that we can do called a PET scan, which can identify the metabolic activity of that nodule. Tumors generally have a higher metabolic activity than normal tissue, and if we see a nodule and it has a high metabolic rate, which is what a PET scan is all about, then we can be very suspicious that this might be more than just a benign nodule.
Correct. So in other words, Jimmy, as you asked the question, not every positive finding on a CAT scan will be lung cancer, but getting a CAT scan done is the first step in early detection for lung cancer. Now remember, this is going to be a recommendation, which eventually they're hoping by the end of the year, it will be covered by Medicare for screening. Screening, when you say screening, we mean we are looking for disease before you present with any symptoms. And we're going to talk about the symptoms of lung cancer. So what is the outcome of this CAT scanning? It reduces mortality. You can diagnose emphysema at an earlier stage. And just like Dr. Katzen was saying, you can see calcification. Guess what, everyone? Plaque. You can see the calcification of the plaque in your arteries. So if you have calcifications in your arteries, you have vascular disease. This is not the intention of the CAT scan. This is a side product that we can see. It's a side benefit. So I want you, Dr. Katzen, to explain, what does it entail to get a CAT scan? How much does it cost? Now, the scanning was without contrast. Could you explain that to us?
Yes. The screening CT scan that you mentioned is without contrast. And there really is not a very good reason to do screening with contrast. So there's no risk from the injection that we would have if we did use contrast. The examination probably takes 10 or 15 minutes maximum. The actual scan portion of the examination is less than a minute. But the setup procedure, what that the technician has to use to get the field organized and the dose organized, is usually will take you 10 or 15 minutes. The cost varies greatly between where you have it done. Most of the private laboratories that we have here in this community.
In other words, like you have the imaging center, that's a freestanding private. And because we were talking about the different cost at a freestanding facility versus a hospital, and we were going to mention about even a chest X-ray.
Right. At our facility, we have a screening CT scan cost of $200, which is a discounted rate that we expect the patient to pay up front.
So that's a cash pay up front.
That's correct.
$200 to find out at an early stage if you have lung cancer or not. You know what? I think that's incredible.
Now, just before the program, I did a little survey at one of the hospitals, for instance, and their charge for a chest X-ray was $486 for a chest X-ray.
Just for a plain chest X-ray.
And if you pay at the time, they give you a 64% discount, and so it's $175 for a chest X-ray. Our charge for a chest X-ray is
$40. $40. Now,
and that is pretty much a universal charge in our practice and in most of the other outpatient centers.
Now, okay.
I can understand why the hospitals would charge a little bit more because they have to provide the service 24 hours a day and whatever, but that I won't make any other comment about the charges.
So in other words, you could go to the imaging center, get a screen, takes 15 minutes, and it is now, eventually, according to my research, this should be covered by Medicare. At this moment, unless you have symptoms for a screening test, which is to detect cancer at an early stage, is not covered by Medicare. But they're hoping that by the end of the year, it will. So we know that your imaging center is offering a discounted price of $200. I think that's really incredible.
That's
true. Wonderful.
Well, the other thing, Dr. Trion, if somebody has a 30-pack year history, then they have chronic bronchitis.
Right.
And that's one of the things we can see on the CT scan, too, because that irritation of 30-pack years is just not something that the body can readily heal from.
You know, I think that's so important that people do not realize, again, the dangers of smoking. And there's other risk besides smoking that can give you lung cancer, such as asbestos, exposure to asbestos, such as exposure to different other chemicals. Can also put you at high risk. Even a family history of lung cancer. Also, they have found that if you are a high intake of alcohol, a high intake drinker, you also are at greater risk for lung cancer.
Well, the reason for that is that a lot of the alcohol that you get rid of from your body comes in your breath.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting.
Right? Everybody knows what somebody smells like. Is that too much to drink?
That's true. It does. Their body metabolizes. The other risk factor, guess what, everybody? Secondhand smoke. So let's say you live with someone who's a smoker. You are not immune to it. And there's research showing that third-hand smoke is, let's say, you go to a place and that people who lived in that house or that room have smoked. Well, there's residue on the walls. There's residue. Has anybody ever gone to a house and when you take down a picture, there's residue all around the picture frame? There's residue of nicotine covering the walls on the curtains.
Well, people can realize what the tobacco does, especially if you drive in your car. Look at your windows, and that same residue is on the walls of where you live or wherever or where you work. And there is research now that shows that the toxicity of the material that's been deposited on the walls and the windows continues for quite some time, and is actually it's supposed to even be worse than somebody who's sitting in front of you and smoking.
So I want everyone to know you are now, there are no guidelines for secondhand smokers yet, but you are a great risk also for lung cancer if you live with a smoker or live in a home where there's other smokers. Another risk factor is radon gas. And apparently that's very prevalent.
In certain parts of the country, like in the Denver area, where there was a lot of uranium wound up in the bricks that were used to build buildings, that radium continues to deteriorate. The half-life of radium is 1,600 years.
Wow.
So you can imagine that radium, when it goes through its half-life, continually puts out radon gas. What's one of the byproducts of its disintegration? So if you have a building that has radon in the brick, you have one hell of a problem for a long, long time.
For 1,600 years, over 1,600 years.
That's correct.
So here we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I was wondering if there's been any tests resulting in the connection between alcohol excess and brain tumors.
I am not aware of that. But I do know that there is a risk factor for increased alcohol intake for even vascular disease and also, as we said, lung cancer. But I'm not aware of that. I'll do some research, and at the next show, I'll bring that up, okay?
I'm very curious. Yeah, thank you. The reason I asked, I have two individuals I know who are recovering alcoholics, and unfortunately, they both suffered with malignant brain tumors. I'm just wondering if there was a connection there or not.
I appreciate that. I will see. Any information on that, Dr. Katzen?
I'm not aware of any connection, but I see very few alcoholics who don't smoke.
Oh, so smoking is really... And now we have another caller. Hello, caller. Oh, that's the same caller. Okay. All right. Thank you, caller. I appreciate that. You know, if you have any questions, we're about winding up the hour. We've got 15 minutes. Our phone number is 206-1580. And again, I want to tell you, we have an incredible guest, Dr. Melvin Katzen. He is the radiologist and owner of Southwest Florida Regional Imaging Center, a brilliant man who's here to ask him any questions about what tests you don't know about. We have radiological. Our main mission today was to bring out this new recommendation, which I feel, being that I practice preventive medicine, why wouldn't anyone get this test done? Now, I will tell you that you don't need to have symptoms, but some of the symptoms of lung cancer are a new cough. So if you have a new cough, if your cough has changed. Now, remember, not everyone who gets lung cancer smokes, but this new guideline says if you're a 30-pack year history of smoking, even if you quit in the past 15 years, you are considered high risk. And the recommendation is to get a yearly CAT scan for early detection. Now, the question is, how long how many years out? That's not been established. But you should be screened between the age of 55 to 79. So everyone out there, and we have another caller. Hi, caller.
Caller, if you could turn your radio down, you'll be able to communicate a little bit better with us, and we'll try to come back to you. Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
I guess they didn't get through. Well, caller,
maybe they'll try again. And yeah. You're welcome to, by the way, at 206-1580.
Thank you, Todd. I guess sometimes you never know. Anyways, so, you know, I just love doing this show. And everybody says that they can see that I enjoy doing the show. I even had a patient last week. She goes, I feel like you're talking directly to me. And I said, but I am. I am. And I think the caller is trying again.
Caller, go ahead, please.
Who's this?
This is Dr. Triana.
Oh, yeah. I just heard your radio broadcast about the flood determination of elevations.
Sir?
I think you're probably talking to the wrong radio station. You might have called. We're having a medical talk show on this station at this time, sir.
Well, this is the number they gave out.
Okay, this was probably the previous program. Then, for the last 45 minutes, we've been talking about radiological issues. I thank you for your call anyway.
Thank you. Hello, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a question for you. They were saying, like, when you been in rooms or something that people were smoking, are you able to say, wash down the walls and like repaint them? Would that sort of take care of that problem, or is that forever?
Well, the question was, can you wash down the room to get rid of the residue and toxins from the cigarette smoking?
I'm not in that business, so I really can't answer that question. But I'm sure that some of the people who do restorative cleansing after storms or fire, who try and eliminate smoke from a home, are probably the people to talk to about that. I do know that there is a paint that you can put on the walls to prevent the escape of radon gas. And a lot of new home buyers are doing a radon check before they buy a new home, because if there is radon gas in your home, you have no way of knowing it without testing for it.
It's a good question, caller. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Now, I think this is really important that everyone knows what could be the symptoms of lung cancer. A new cough, a changing cough, coughing up blood. That is very important. You need to notify your doctor as soon as that happens. Getting more shorter breath, wheezing, hoarseness in the voice can be a sign of lung cancer. Unexplained weight loss, not the kind that, you know, you're doing Weight Watchers, unexplained weight loss, bone pain and headaches. And remember, looking at your risk. We talked about the smoking. We talked about the radon gas. We talked about other chemicals. There's a whole list of chemicals. I didn't want to just go through them all that can also predispose you. We know about asbestos. But I think it's very important that everyone walks away with the fact that this recommendation we're talking about is to screen for lung cancer before you get any of the symptoms. So, Dr. Katzen, people say, you know, I had a chest X-ray. My doctor said it was okay.
Well, it probably was okay.
Okay, but a chest X-ray does not detect early lung cancer.
Except if it's in the periphery of the lung. In other words, if you have a small nodule that's surrounded by air, it's easier to see. But if it's in the central portion of the lung, like in the bronchus, the main bronchus, the bronchus is the tube that carries air either to the right side of the lung or the left side of the lung, and that's really where most non-small cell cancers occur. cell cancers, lung cancers are divided into just two categories, small cell and large cell. But the large cell cancers occur in the bronchus, and that part, that is pretty much invisible to us on the chest x-ray. We can see some air in there, and once in a while, if somebody actually has a tumor that's big enough to occlude the bronchus, we can see it on a regular chest x-ray. But that's more unusual than is a common finding.
Okay, so in other words, there's the small cell, like we said, that's less common, and that is also the non-small cell, which is the squamous cell carcinoma, adenocarcinoma, and large cell carcinoma.
Right.
And each one carries a different risk, and it also depends, again, your ability to survive is at what stage is this disease detected, which is, I think, such a life changer to think that we can detect something earlier. We have the means to do it. One of the problems I find in medicine, is that patients sometimes, even though I make a recommendation or there is a recommendation, they don't really want to pay out of pocket for it. And I understand that economics is an important part of all our lives, but if it could save our life.
Well, I think you have to look at the cost of health care. Cost of health care in this country is about 16% of GDP. So imagine you're paying 7 to 8% sales tax on everything you buy, from chewing gum to cigarettes. Well, cigarettes, you're paying more because you got federal tax on top of it. So if you had to pay 16 cents of every dollar you earn for your health care, it really is only twice what you pay for your sales tax for everything else you buy. And my personal opinion is that over the whole country, that's not really a lot of money for health care.
And the thing is, my feeling is we cannot expect a third-party payer to necessarily pay for everything, and we need to maybe step up to the plate if we want to try to do something and detect and to save our lives.
Yeah. Right. Well, I see.
And we have a caller.
Hello?
Hello, caller.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we on the air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, wonderful. Doctor, has there been any studies in reference to retired firefighters and lung cancer?
There are studies, but I will tell you that being a firefighter, of course, puts you in a higher risk group. And Dr. Katzen.
Yeah, of course, if you have your mask on and you're breathing clean air, then you can certainly reduce the risk of smoke inhalation.
Well, the old days, believe it or not, it was really frowned upon. When I joined the department in 78, if you took time to put on an air mask, some line chief would be yelling at you. But when I left in 99, if you did not put on an air pack, you got yelled at. So times have changed.
Oh, that's good, too, because...
But the old days, you sucked up a lot. You sucked up the carpet when you crawled in. I mean...
Right.
Well,
you know that when the plastic burns, there's a cyanide gas that it gives off, and that can be a lethal gas, too. And really, one of the problems we learned earlier with aircraft accidents is that the burning plastics killed almost as many people as the fire did.
Right. No, like I said, it didn't matter what kind of fire it was, and we went to all kinds.
Sure.
But a lot of times, from the 70s through the 80s, along about 89, things started to change. But back in the first 10 years on the job, we didn't too much take time to put a mask on.
Well, I'm not aware of any specific number to give you, but obviously, if there's been any kind
of studies done on any kind of information out there.
Yeah. Well, we'll do some research on that. But obviously, if you've been exposed to any of the chemicals, the asbestos, you were talking about the plastics burning, that puts you in a higher risk. And yes, there are firefighters who actually smoke out there.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, that was one of the few that did not smoke.
Okay,
But still, like I said, the old days, you just went in, you crawled in, and you sucked it up.
Well, nowadays we have so much information, and that's one of the things, one of the reasons that I have this radio program. It's to help people, to teach people, to let people understand. And for everyone out there, there's so many things we can do to take care of our health and save our lives so we can be around for the people we love. Thank you, caller. Thank you. I mean, I see the time is almost running out. And I want to just, again, I want to talk about the complications of lung cancer, which could be metastasis spread to other parts of your body, other parts of your organ. You can also go to the pleural cavity, cause fluid buildup in your lungs that needs to be removed. It can cause pain, shortness of breath. You can, the cancer itself can make you cough up blood. The stages, we don't have time to go into all the different stages. The important pearl to take home today, Dr. Katzen, tell us again, what is it we can do to help save our lives for those people that smoke? Now, I will tell you, I've never smoked, but I want you to tell us.
You have to quit smoking.
Quit
That's the
smoking.
First thing you have to do. It's not easy because nicotine is a very addicting substance. But there's a lot of help out there, like people who are alcoholics and have to quit and finally make up their mind. But it's your job, your audience's job, each person, to be responsible for their own health.
Yes. So get follow this recommendation. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. We've had Dr. Melvin Katzen, radiologist, as our guest. I am so glad. I thank all the callers. If you have any questions, you can email me at askdrtriana@trianapreventioncenter.com. And we also, our office number is 941-625-1990. We are accepting new patients. I'm a family medicine doctor, a lipidologist, and a certified menopause practitioner. And oh my goodness, we didn't get to talk about sex and the heart. That was one of, we're going to talk about that next week. Okay? So thank you, Dr. Katzen. Thank you, Todd. Everybody, stay healthy.